In the minutes from last month?
I will make a motion to approve minutes.
Second.
Have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from last month. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay? Okay, motion carries. Hey, Jennifer.
The guys are teasing me because my book's this big, so I thought I was going to read it all. I'm just teasing, I love it.
It's dirt, you're welcome.
Okay, let me get to the bottom, sorry. And I'm going to see if we have... Oh, okay, good, thank you for... All right, so I did give you a printed copy, just to make sure there was a little bit of technology confusion. So I'm just going to read the copy you have in front of you. I will keep this briefish. If you have questions, just let me know. First, we're going to talk about the month. So for the month of June, our billed revenue was great. It's up 22.39% from last June. Just think what July is going to be. Water consumption was up 11.37%. We do have one extra day of billing, but it's also very dry, and a lot of that is irrigation related. You can see in the month report in this packet. The water department, we did have a profit of $336,000 for this June, and that is before that APRS adjustment we have to do every year. So the APRS adjustment, as a reminder, is something we have to put on our financials that is related to retirement, that the governmental accounting standard says we have to report. So we put it on our financials, but we also put it separately because it's not in our control and it's not up to operating expenses. So I like to just break that out. So we had the profit before we had an APRS adjustment, just of operating profit of $336,000. If you include that APRS profit, so book profit, you know, we were up to about $500,000+ profit for the month, so significant. Last year, profit was $153,000, so.
Jennifer?
Yes. It's favorable, yes.
No. This is not jiving with what my packet is. This a...
Yes, this is why. So I had a little bit of technology. So I uploaded all my documents. I saved everything. I looked this morning and I go, oh, this is the wrong document. My OneDrive had disconnected from my computer. Okay. I did not realize it. So when I got the e-packet, it was different. I go, oh my gosh, Fran, I'm so sorry. So I had some technology issue. I thought I was uploading the correct packet, not realizing it had not saved for my Microsoft OneDrive.
Oh, no worries.
So I apologize.
Is it just that?
It's just that page.
Oh, okay.
Yes, everything else. I even called IT. I go, why isn't it saving? Why not doing anything else? Disconnected. So it was saving, just not on my desktop.
Very good.
So I apologize for that confusion.
No.
So the profit year to date, we were ahead of the prior year by $640,000 before that APRS adjustment. And we are ahead of budget by $708,000 before the APRS adjustment. I wanted to explain a little bit of why our actual was far more favorable than what we budgeted. The difference is primarily due to our revenues exceeding projections by $570,000. $173,000, that was billed revenue, so residential, commercial, and industrial water usage. And the remainder of that revenue was $312,000 for access and impact fees. And then the expenses were less. That's due to depreciation being less than we projected because we did not complete the amount of assets that we thought we would in the year. So, great year for revenues. access and impact fees, quickly in water, we broke $1 million at $1,032,000. That is a little less than year 21, but more than fiscal year 20. So. For the sewer department, billed revenue was also up. It was at 15.9%. It doesn't have that irrigation component that water has. And the sewer consumption was up 3.32%. The reported profit was $699,000 before the APRS adjustment of $427,000. Last year we had a profit of $571,000. So, fiscal year 22 profit is less than the prior year by $371,000, but still ahead of budget by $971,000. And the differences for budget versus actual here. Revenues exceeded projections by quite a bit, by $989,000. $590,000 of that was revenues. We really saw a big bump up in commercial and industrial that we did not anticipate with COVID being last year. You know, we were more conservative with it bouncing back, and it ended up bouncing back pretty significantly, more than we had hoped and planned. And access and impact fee collection was up $282,000. Depreciation was also less than projected due to the time of completing assets and service. And the pollution control utilities and equipment maintenance, I know Todd can testify to this, it was more than budgeted. Utilities shot through the roof this year, and we had some significant dryer repair that exceeded the budget by $391,000. So I'm glad we had those additional revenues. access and impact fee in the sewer, same as the water, ahead of fiscal year 20, but behind fiscal year 21, we're at almost $1.9 million collections. Lost water, we're at the time of year where we bill them versus what we pay is a little bit of a difference. So for the month, it was 23%, but that's very seasonal. It's not a number to be surprised about. Calendar year, we're still at 16% and 11% for the last 12 months. For our funds, we are at a combined $44.2 million, which is an increase of $3.5 million from last June. That is more significant in the water department, where we have $2.8 million increase. We've paid off the debt, the 2010 bonds last year, which helped us on paying back debt payments. And the water funds have increased by $640,000. But of that $44.2 million, $6.4 million we can only spend for certain purposes, so we don't exactly have free rein of that. And then of the $44.2 million, $24 million is our minimum reserves. And that's water and sewer combined, so we're required to keep about $12.6 million for water and $11.7 million for sewer. So we have an excess of about $20 million that, quote-unquote, can be used at will. And we definitely have some plans for that with our capital. Significantly in the sewer department with the solids, and Johnny has a lot of sewer line repair and rehab, and we plan to use that money. So, and briefly, just high level on the GASB, I kind of gave you a reminder of what that is. It is where we have to record our portion of the liability of the state pension plan. So we have a liability on our books, and then we also have other assets on our books and the balance sheet, and then we have to record usually an expense or a favorable income. This year, because we were reporting a year behind, last year, you know, we had a lot greater stock market, you know, the year prior, because we're reporting on June 30, 21, not 22. So I expect next year for it to flip around. An actuary prepares that report, and it's based on a lot of circumstances, investments, retirement age, that kind of thing. And then just wrapping it up, the consumption for the year, we were up 2.5% in the water department and 2.1% in the sewer department, and our customer count continues to increase by almost 2%, 1.8% in the water and 1.7% in the sewer. So strong customer growth, strong usage, dry summer, good revenues, had some unexpected expenses, but overall a great year. Just want to show you this. This is all those numbers. It's more numbers, but it's formatted a little differently to see. This box right here is comparing this year to last year on the profit. And then this number here is what we originally budgeted. And then the same for the sewer department. So that's all I have for you, unless you have some specific questions. And this is, I just want to show you the chart. So I like to chart the income because sometimes pictures help us understand a little better than just numbers. But this chart, what the income does year over year. So you can see income very much follows a trend based upon how we bill. We did have a bit of an anomaly here in sewer in fiscal year 21, but it largely follows the same pattern. And then, almost done, I promise. Last month, Matt presented for me, so I wasn't sure how much you've seen this. We do have some new financial formatting with our new Tyler system, which is our new software for general ledger, balance sheet, and accounts payable. So if you see this, it looks a little different. When you get to the income statement, right now we're just showing current year information, but I will have a prior year comparative in July to show you for July financials. But we plan to roll out utility billing in September, and we're still on target for that. So that is really all I have for you now, unless you have any questions.
I haven't looked in the details on that, but the before the APRS adjustment on this page 9 in particular, the water is, you know, quite a bit of increase, but there's actually a decrease on the net income from 21 to 22. Is that just those unexpected expenses?
Are you talking about the water department?
No.
Oh,
well, the water is up.
Yeah, water, sewer.
But
yes.
Sewer, that's on account of the our beloved dryer. And
yeah, it's a combination. Access and impact fees did decrease. So you can see here, $2.3 million last fiscal year, and it's $1.9 million. So there's about $400,000 of it right there.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, we did have some more expenses, so it's a combination, but I like to chalk it up to access and impact fees primarily. And yeah, a little more expenses in pollution control. But those build revenue sure did help us.
Yeah.
Offset
some
of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Thank you. Brian.
Good afternoon. For the engineering report, July, for engineering staff, we have filled our position for the GIS and mapping technician, Carla Stanton, she's here, and also, I don't know if I've introduced Troy Davis, our engineering tech. So engineering is now fully staffed. I know Dan has been working a lot trying to get a staff, so we're glad to have those positions filled. Other significant events: ductile iron pipe. We've been seeing some extensive delays, and in some cases up to a year for some of these contractors to get ductile iron pipe. We're starting to see a number of development projects being delayed as that's becoming a critical path item, a material that takes a year to get being needed in the first phases of the project. So, you know, here really in the last week or two, we've been seeing a lot of pressure for us to accept PVC C900 for waterline. You know, we've had ductile iron pipe in our spec at least for the last 30 years or so. So it would be a big change to go to PVC. We don't think we're quite there yet. You know, we're talking to the suppliers and monitoring the market, and they confirm, yes, it is bad. There are long lead times for some of these items. But in any case, you know, at some point, We may be pushed to accept a variance on our specifications if it keeps getting worse.
Do any of our sister cities, do they allow in their mains?
So Springdale, up until recently, has accepted PVC in some cases where they have corrosive soils, but that required special consideration from their Water and Sewer Commission. And I believe at their last reading, at their last meeting, they had that revised to where they took the corrosive soils requirement out of it, and they could approve PVC on a case-by-case basis.
So yeah, right now the developer wants to substitute PVC for ductile, they've got to come in the way I understood it at our meetings, they need to come in front of the commission. It's not ideal. It's also temporary. We do know this will be temporary. This is not forever.
So if they put the PVC in, would they be required when they get the iron to replace it? It just stays there.
Springdale's the only one.
PVC, I mean, Bentonville, for Bentonville and many other cities, PVC is their standard water product. You know, we like ductile iron. I mean, it's really hard to mess up the installation. I mean, that's really the biggest thing. You know, it's a very resilient material. It's easier to tap. So, you know, that's what our guys know and are trained how to use. And so, you know, we're really hesitant to make that change. But I did want to bring it to your attention because it is becoming an issue.
So it would cost us more money in the long run because it's not as sturdy as the ductile iron, right?
That depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd say that. It's just okay. For our system and the way we excavate and dig down, we're used to it. And that's what's in everywhere by right in the city. So it's what happens is if you switch that, you probably stay that way. Whatever's going to be cheaper at the end. So if we did something, it would be temporary until the market corrects itself. We haven't gotten a lot of pressure yet, but as Brian said, we just want to make you aware as it might be coming. So Springdale did change theirs at last week's meeting.
Is that going to keep contractors from coming to Rogers?
It could potentially delay a lot of projects. I think what's going to happen is developers are going to start finding creative ways to plan a little bit better. You know, when they have concept plan, the order pipe that way it's there at the site when they need it. I think part of the thing is, you know, some of these guys have, you know, been, you know, getting caught unaware of some of these supply issues and having their site ready to go, permitted, and then all of a sudden they're not going to be able to get pipe for a year.
And this has been going on for a while, and if you look around, the projects are still going, and you're still about to go on the ground. So it does, I feel anyway, personally, that it does come down to some planning. But again, we just want to make it work.
And we need to get a better idea of the project as a whole, you know, because we've got fittings, we've got brass, we've got, you know, meters and other things. I know electrical transformers are also more than a year out. However, those can come at the end of the project when the houses are going up. So it is a little bit more critical to get the pipe in the ground. But it is a situation that we are going to be monitoring. If, like I say, if it keeps worsening, we may be forced to change our tactic. Any other questions on that? On June 22nd, just after our last meeting, the contractor at a site on Bellevue ran over our 24-inch sewer main with earth-moving equipment. They temporarily patched the main and are waiting on pipe to replace those two. I think it's two or three sections of pipe that were damaged. Is that right, Johnny?
Yes, sir.
And this is kind of a testament to ductile right here. If this was plastic, it would have been a more severe failure. But they were able to peel the top of that pipe off.
Was that just a track hoe?
That was a scraper.
Oh yes,
that's impressive.
Amazingly, they didn't feel it or hear it when they hit it, but they smelled it.
Well, at least one of their senses was working.
One of their senses.
they have to get that stuff marked before they start doing stuff? Aren't they supposed to get that marked where everything is before they...
Yes, and so we had reviewed plans for this development, and if you see kind of the top of the embankment right there, that was as low as they were supposed to go. However, they found some good soil there, and they were using this as a borrow pit. And so that's what happened, unfortunately. But anyway, they're in the process of getting the materials to get that repaired, but it'll be a long process. Plan review, pretty average month. We did have a few new projects here. A storage facility, we had a couple of multi-family, and also I think 21st and Midtown was a small subdivision, and then warehouse and commercial as well. Last week we did complete smoke testing on approximately 128,000 feet of sewer line on the east side. This is just south of downtown, around the Veterans Park area, and around the plantations along South First Street. And so we should be getting the results and the recommendations from that smoke testing back here in a couple of weeks. And the context of this smoke testing was for the areas that we were having capacity issues with, as outlined in the sewer master plan. And so you can see all those lines downstream of the smoke testing area, shaded in blue or red. That's where we're having capacity issues. And this kind of goes back to what we discussed in the last meeting with the possibility of not allowing any new development until we can develop capacity in the sewer system. So this is the first prong in a two-pronged approach to developing that capacity: smoke testing and repairing defects that are contributing to inflow and infiltration to bring down that peak flow while we're working on plans to add capacity to those downstream lines by running parallel sewer mains. And we have solicited statements of qualifications from engineering firms to do some design work on that downstream line, so we have started that process.
We have met with the city, and so that everybody knows that if you're planning on purchasing property out there, investing or doing something like that, there are known issues so that we don't get combined with it.
Where is that long continuous red line? I can't quite read the streets. No, on up. Right there, yeah, that long thing.
Okay, so this is, and in the final report, that's not going to appear red. That is our two 24-inch force mains that go from the old sewer plant location down to the new plant. So those are actually force mains that were designed to flow under pressure. And so they just need to fix the coloring on their map.
Oh, that's an easy fix.
That was one of our comments. Yeah, that's a lot easier than the alternative.
But unfortunately, we have about 4.5 miles that have to be upsized parallel.
So I think for this whole stretch from this location over here in the plantation all the way back to Pauline Whitaker Parkway, you know, we've estimated somewhere around $40 million and 6 years to complete. So that is truly a long-term solution. And so this smoke testing hopefully will allow some development to continue while we're working on that long-term solution. For the water usage trends, I apologize if this is hard to read.
This is the trend going from January to December, and I think this goes back to 2018 through 2022. This light blue line is the current year. You can see that in this drought condition, our sales have been higher than any previous year. Actually, this is what we purchased from Beaver. The only exception being last year when we supplied Bentonville while they were repairing their main break. But I believe last Thursday we peaked at 19.7 MGD, which is high, but it's still well within what we had planned for. I think our water master plan outlined 25 MGD in the 2025 scenario. So we're still below our design capacity, and as of right now, we're not having any pressure issues anywhere in the city that we're aware of, even with all this use. So that's some good news. Then finally, 11th Street tank. There's a before and after shot. That's completely done. Looks a lot better than it did.
The $1 million paint job, huh?
That's more than $1 million paint job. That's about a $1.3 million paint job.
Looks nice, though.
That's all I have. Oh, I did want to mention. I didn't put any slides in for it. I think Todd and I and a couple of the plant staff will be traveling up to West Virginia to look at a dryer installation up there. This is the Weiss installation, and so then once we've interviewed some of those guys and have a better idea of what we want to include in our formal RFP, will request those proposals from the equipment manufacturers and start moving forward with that project a little bit farther. So, any questions?
Very good.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Todd.
I do apologize for not getting my packet in for you. I had a overlap with vacation, and when that was available to be uploaded, and then a forgetful mind to have somebody else upload it for me. Typical treatment, there's nothing on there, but we were close on the treatment. Everything went fine. A little more detail on our pre-treatment and fog. Our total surcharge for the budget year is $99,603. That's more than what we were the previous year. That was $70,141. They sampled five industries for June. They had a little bit of issue at Pelfreeze calibrating their auto sampler. And then they went back to GLAD to check the meter that they had looked at there, and everything was fine there. The other thing was Tyson Chicken Quick had a high TSS and phosphorus surcharges, but they did not violate their permit. The preformed line product had a little bit of an issue with zinc. It was really more about how they were reporting it than what they were actually treating it. They were actually not giving us the right data on what they were doing. So once you actually, and their, fortunately their permit was up for consideration this time, and once they recalculated the permit, their zinc levels are fine. It had no impact on the pollution control facility. Fog inspections, they had 28 places pumped. She did 32 inspections. Of the 32 inspections, she had four issues she had to go back and check. They didn't really have a whole lot of issue other than that. significant events out at the plant. Our train 2 rehab is mostly complete and operational. The parts are just showing up to finish some final work that they've got to do. We're waiting on everything to get there so they can take the... They've got to take that second train down one more time. Or actually, we got to take it down so they can work. Got to do that one more time, and we only want to do that once and make it as compact as possible, so we're making sure all the parts are on site before we do that. We did continue to interview for our vacant lab tech up until we found a great candidate. Hallie Wade started this month, actually, on 7/18. Previously at our meeting, the commission had asked who our primary contact was at PLP. That is Lloyd Brown. I wanted to go ahead and follow up with that. Bring it back to you. We did re-advertise our biosolids handling after not getting any bidders. I completed a optional pre-bid meeting with potential bidders, and there were 10 attendees at the pre-bid. We treated right at 282 million gallons in June. That's about 27 million gallons away from ideal. There was 1.88 inches of rain over six events, and the historical rainfall for June is 4.29, so that tells you how dry we were. Right now, our average daily flow in June was about 9.4 in that dry weather versus the 8.5. I usually take a look at our minimum flows in September after we went all the way through the summer, but because this has been so dry, just taking a look at it, I'd say we're likely to be 8.6 or 8.7 on a minimum flow in the future. Could be as high as 8.8, but probably more than the 8.5 I'm actually looking at. So I have. I do apologize again for not getting that into your packet. Can I answer any questions for you?
Has the heat, did the bugs at the plant like the heat or hate the heat?
Well, they love it.
Okay.
Heat is energy. I have... We adjust our what we call mixed liquor suspended solids, or the total bug population, and we keep that a little less than 2,000 in the summertime, usually around 1,700 to 1,800. In the wintertime, we keep it 3,200 to 3,300. That's part of the reason why we have such a problem with solids in the wintertime, because biology is an exponential population increase. So the more you have as a base, the higher that increase is. So the more we have to cull off to maintain. Versus the summertime, we have almost half. So, yes, it's a good question.
Good deal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Starting.
So just wanted to go through what Field Ops has been doing for last month. We completed new pricing for lots that previously didn't have water service or homes requesting additional meters for irrigation. We did 18 for the month of June. Today we did 9, just today. Nine new pricings this morning for irrigation meters. So. Everybody's wanting to realize that they need the irrigation and everything. So we issued 27 new bore permits for the new contractors that's coming in. That's down a little bit for us. If you've been driving around, you're not seeing the boring contractors as much. They're having problems getting pipe too, and some other things. So they're not getting to work as much as they have been. We did do 984 locates, though, but that's for, like, some of the gas utilities and stuff like that. They're doing some repair work and replacement work at some gas lines here in town. We set out 300 loggers. We identified 12 additional leaks. Our construction crew, they completed 56 work orders, and these included fire hydrant replacement and repairs. These replacements and repairs were received from the fire department on issues found during the city's ISO study. Every year the fire department will do the ISO study for the fire rate rating, and they found some problems with some hydrants this year. So we're in the process of replacing the ones that needed to be replaced, and we got quite a few repairs to do on some too. These work orders also include inlet repairs, taps, and services on new construction. We did the inlet repairs because in the afternoons and stuff with the heat and everything to help the guys, because they can get in, you know, they go and do one, they get back in the truck, they can sit in the air conditioner for a minute before they go to the next one and drink some water and stuff. So it just gave them a chance to cool off and stuff. And, you know, usually the inlets are like our priority threes, but we're using them now, like I said, just to help protect the guys from the heat. We also repaired 15 leaks, 12 that were found by the leak loggers and 3 that were caused by contractors. And they also completed 9 topsoil jobs. Our sewer crews, they've been just as busy. They did 173 manhole inspections, 9,243 feet of CCTV inspection, 87,970 linear feet of sewer flushing. It's good. We got our vacons and stuff back. We should receive our new flush truck, hopefully, the first week of August. So that's going to help us. You know, our numbers are coming back up on our sewer flushing, and that's going to help because we had a few sewer backups and some homes and stuff that we had to take care of just because when our flush trucks and everything were down. And they cleaned 8 lift stations. We had 2 mainline backups. We had 10 private line backup investigations, and we repaired 3 manholes and completed 3 new sewer taps. And then what these pictures are here is these are what out at Shadow Valley, one of our big lift stations and stuff. We got homes built right up to the lift station out there, and we were having some odor problems and odor smells that they were complaining about. So we basically we went out to price commercial air scrubbers, and they were quite expensive. And so we decided, we were going to build our own. So basically, what we did was we just took some 50-gallon or some drums, plastic drums. We cut a hole in the side, and we got our vent going in there. And then at the bottom, we got charcoal and some mulch and stuff so that air is going through there. And then we drilled holes here at the bottom so it's venting out that air. And then also we tuck over the door panels and everything. We went in and purchased some of those horse trailer pads, those thick pads, and we laid those over there. So that's forcing those odors, not allowing them to come up through the door and actually forcing them through those vents and those barrels that we built there. You can see that it's, like I said, it's a pretty large lift station out there. That's just a solution. And since we have put those in, we have not had any odor complaints out there from those homeowners right around there. So they are working for us. So we also historically have received complaints around First Baptist Church and Pleasant Grove on a seasonal basis, usually during the summer. Starting June, July, when everybody's out riding their bikes and stuff. And we know that it's coming from our discharge from our largest force main over there that's coming from Garrett Road. We've been monitoring this manhole for the last year for odors. We noticed that one of our pumps in Garrett Road lift station had failed in a way that it did not completely shut off, but remained on 24/7 at a diminished pumping rate. The unexpected result was that the odors reduced dramatically in this receiving manhole. And based on this finding, the SCADA department installed a small jockey pump in the Garrett Road lift station. That way we can mimic what that other one was doing. And we will continue to monitor this manhole in hopes. But as of right now, we're not getting any complaints for smells out there off of the bike trail and stuff. So I'm thinking that it has worked for us. So, any questions?
Good.
Yeah.
MacGyver.
I don't know about MacGyver. Just read a lot of books, so a lot of magazines. So.
Good job.
Okay.
New business, Johnny?
I don't know. All right. We would like, we're bringing to you a resolution to approve the purchase of a Orbit screener. What it is a dirt screener. We want to waive competitive bidding because we went out and we priced, looked at 3, got quotes on 3 from the internet that we that we liked, because we're going to have this stored out there at the water towers. So we didn't need the bigger motors and stuff like that out there making a lot of noise and stuff. So we kind of picked out the top three that we liked, and the Orbitz is the Orbit screener is the best one that we liked so far. I mean, the best one that we liked out of all of those. For one thing, it gave us a longer conveyor because we're going to do the dirt outside, and we're actually going to conveyor it over into a storage bin, covered storage bin, so we can keep the topsoil dry and stuff as we're making it. The reason we want it is right now topsoil is going for as high as low as $40 up to $100 a yard. We can buy the old dirt that we can screen or sell for about $10, for a truckload. So that's why we're wanting the screener.
Good deal.
So we're asking for approval to waive competitive bidding and to purchase the Orbit screen for $74,850. And we budgeted not quite that much, but we will be able to justify it because we're not purchasing a few other things some other things that we put out there that come back cheaper. We'd put an increase on them, but they went ahead and honored that price. So we will be able to fund it, Jennifer.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Motion second for resolution number 22-20. It's approving the purchase of an Orbit screener for the Rogers Water Utilities, authorizing expenditure of funds for the purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and for other purposes. This is in the amount of $74,850. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries. Okay, next one.
This is a resolution to authorize our department to purchase a Kubota tractor and related equipment through the Sourcewell Competitive Purchasing Program, waiving any further requirements of competitive bidding and for other purposes. Our Sourcewell is a government bid, so it's government pricing is what it is. And where is the total? For $38,377 is what we're asking for, and we'd like to have approval to buy the Kubota tractor.
I'll make a motion that we purchase the Kubota tractor through the Sourcewell Cooperative Purchasing Program for $38,377.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have motion second for resolution number 22-21. The amount of $38,377. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries.
Is that replacing something, Johnny?
It's replacing our old Kubota that's falling apart.
Did you get your money's worth out of it?
We got our money's worth out of it. The baling wire is not holding it together any longer. So. And then our next, I'm sorry that this is just the purchase and new budget. So this is for us to purchase a new camera equipment from the HGAC bid, or HGAC buy, which is also a government agency. So we can waive the competitive, we don't have to go out for bid. We budgeted $325,000 for a new camera van. In that process of this year, we found some new equipment that I'd been reviewing and looking at for quite some time. I just didn't realize that it was available here in the United States. It was in Australia that I kept seeing all the good articles and stuff on it about it, and so we actually found out that it was purchased. You could actually purchase it here in the United States, and have been able to. They just actually had it under a different name until they could get it patented over here, and then this year was the first year they could sell it as what they have over in Australia. So we budgeted $325,000 to buy some new Q's vans. So what we want to do here is we're going to purchase this camera equipment for $155,673. And what we're it'll be a cube package that will just be installed inside one of our vans. Right now we'll take the old package out, put this new package in. It works with our granite net that we use, so that's the reason we wanted to go with this too. For one thing, it's a lot cheaper than what we're looking at, and we want to test drive this to see later on if we want to go ahead and purchase a van through them and purchase this. But when the guys were using it out in the field, they loved the ease of it and how it worked and how it functioned out there. So that's the reason we wanted to go ahead and purchase this. So
you're actually saving us money.
Yes, sir, but I'll probably spend it
I'll
somewhere.
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
We have motion second for resolution 22-22, authorizing Rogers Water Utilities to purchase sewer inspection equipment through the HGAC Buy Cooperative purchasing program for the amount of $155,673 plus shipping taxes and other related expenses. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you. I don't think this one's for me.
This is Brian.
Okay, this resolution is amending the record retention and disposal policy for Rogers Water Utilities and other purposes. And I believe, and Robert, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the modification to this record retention policy is the addition of the cross connection control program, residential backflow assembly test reports that can be destroyed 3 years past the date of the test. Is that correct?
Well, that's what sparked this amendment. Me looking at, Brent asked me to look at the repetition period for those cross-connection control program records. There's a lot of them. And they fall broadly into the category of Clean Water Act documents. So at the same time, when I was looking at those, I thought we just needed to go ahead and specify out these other Clean Water Act documents. So previously, they've kind of probably fallen under engineering department documents, but these are more specific timelines for these particular types of documents, and they're various citations to the CFRs and the State Board of Health rules on how we have to keep these particular type of documents. But you'll see in the next resolution that it's focused on a lot of RPC backflow prevention tests that accumulate that are not really useful for keeping around. And so that's why we're modifying the, asking you to modify the record retention and disclosure policy.
I'll make a motion that we amend the record retention policy.
I will second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second for resolution 22-23, amending the record retention and disposal policy for the Rogers Water Utilities and for other purposes. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you. And the next next resolution follows up on resolution 22-23. This authorizes the residential cross-connection control program documents for destruction. We have several file cabinets downstairs, and this is just a house cleaning measure.
Okay.
I would make a motion.
Second.
Okay. So motion and second for resolution 22-24, authorizing construction of certain residential cross connection control program documents and for other purposes. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we've got. We'll adjourn this meeting.
Thank you. You got all kinds of time, Kathy.